What is up, everybody? This is the Primal King Podcast. I, again, am Derek Wilson, and this is episode number 11. So super excited that you're joining us again because we have a super special guest, somebody who I got the chance to hang out with for a few days earlier this year. Got to get the chance to have some good conversations, really get to know him. And this episode, we have a ton of fun with it. There's a lot of value. My guest here, Carrie, he has started multiple businesses, and he's modeled, and he's acted, and he's done all these different things. He's a biohacker. If you don't know what that is, you will by the end of this episode. Plus, if you stay around to the very end, he tells a story that is seriously one of the funniest stories that I've ever heard. I just die laughing, probably because of the way that he performs it. But I hope you stick around and you listen to it. And also, I hope you really, really enjoy the episode because it was a ton of fun to put together. So here you guys go. Hope you enjoy. So the question is this: how do we live the best life that we can with the limited amount of time that we get to be here? Is it by accumulating success and fame and fortune and everything else that society tells us that we need in order to be fulfilled? Or is it much more simple than that? My name is Derek Wilson. I'm the host of the Primal King Podcast, and we're going to be answering this as well as many other questions as we move forward. Welcome back, everybody, to the Primal King Podcast. Today, I have a very special guest. So, my next guest is the author of the book and the upcoming podcast called The Happy Hustle, which just released November 27th. Make sure you go and check both of those out. He's also the VP and co-founder of Sustainable Breakthroughs, which is a company fighting the plastic pollution epidemic. He's been featured in Yahoo Sports, Vogue, ESPN. He's represented companies in the modeling world, such as the Home Depot, Cadillac, Crocs, Corona, Bank of America, and so many more. He's a biohacker, an all-around good dude, and maybe, can I call you a hippie cowboy? Does that work?
That works.
All right, this is Kerry Jack, everybody. So excited to have him on. Woo! We got a chance to hang out a little bit over, early fall? And Yep. Man, freaking awesome guy. Very interesting guy. So wanted to have him come on. He's got a ton of value in a lot of different areas, but kind of where I wanted to start with, Carrie, is the happy hustle. What is that? What's that all about?
Awesome, man. Well, I appreciate that intro. I've never been called a hippie cowboy, but I definitely resonate with that. You know, I grew up half in Florida, surf and skate, and then half in Montana playing cowboy on a ranch out in Red Lodge. So yeah, I guess that works. But yeah, the happy hustle, man, it's basically my lessons learned, experiences endured, and actual takeaways on the pursuit of passion and purpose. You know, it's really just about enjoying the journey and not just the destination. I think as entrepreneurs, as just businessmen and women out there, we get caught up
so much. And I wanted to really focus on the journey, getting to the result and being happy in the process.
Awesome. And I talked a little bit about that as well, because I know for myself, that's something I really struggle with, is I'm always like, even when I drive, right? When I'm on a road trip, I'm like looking forward, just trying to get there. I'm not the guy who like, and maybe it's a guy thing. I don't know. Maybe women are different, but for me, I'm always just like, nope, we're going to get there in 7 hours and like pedal to the metal until we get there. Whereas like other people seem to like just kind of cruise down the road and look around. So do you have any like strategies as to like, how do you enjoy the journey more maybe?
Yeah, man, I think it is all about gratitude first and foremost. Like we can focus on what we do have or what we don't have. So one of the strategies that I like to employ in my morning routine is a gratitude practice. And I think if you're out there listening and you don't have a morning routine, A, get a morning routine that fills your cup up. And then B, make gratitude a part of that morning routine to set the tone, because gratitude has the power to shape your life in a way that you could only dream of. And being grateful for, you know, your clothes on your back, the roof over your head, the food in the fridge, the car that you drive, even if it's not ideal, maybe it's not your dream car, that's okay. You know, be grateful for whatever you do have. That usually keeps me centered and allows me to focus on the happiness in the hustle.
So what do you, because a lot of people talk about morning routines, and I have my own, and like, honestly, it's something that I feel like I need to get better at, because it's some mornings you just wake up and you're like, I don't want to do that, you know? So like, if there's people out there, because I think especially kind of in, you know, if you want to call it the self-help space or the self-development space, you hear everybody out there, like you need a morning routine. What's like an example of one, or like, what would you recommend if you were to give someone advice on how to kind of have more of a structured morning or more of a routine?
Yeah. I mean, I guess I could just speak about my morning routine and you guys can pull from it, you know, what you will. Essentially, I wake up every morning, usually 6 a.m. I'm not trying to be a hero and get up at like 4:30. You know, it's I need my sleep. We all need our sleep. It's super important that you get sound sleep. So 6 a.m. usually is when I wake up. I'll instantly hyperhydrate with at least, you know, maybe 16 to 32 ounces of water. I then take down my ACV, my morning apple cider vinegar, lemon, fresh lemon, usually a little molecular hydrogen tablets, and Himalayan pink sea salt, because your body loses a ton of electrolytes as you sleep and you get dehydrated. So it's super important that you fill your body with those electrolytes and hyperhydrate first thing in the morning. Then I like to do some type of either sun gazing or get outside and either do a morning. I live near the beach here in South Florida now. So I usually like to go to, you know, sunrise on the beach if possible. And I do a meditation, usually like not like a super woo-woo one. I'm not that good at it, to be honest, but I have my own process that serves me. And that's just breathing, focusing on my breath for, you know, 5 minutes. It's really allowing me to center back with, you know, Mother Earth and myself and my thoughts. I set an intention for the day. Then I grab my journal and I fill out my attitude of gratitude list. So usually the first 5 to 10 things that come to mind, maybe it's the beautiful breeze that just graced my beard. Maybe it's the, you know, the sun shining, my dog next to me, who knows, whatever comes to mind, family, friends, my health. Then I'll do my to dominate list. So the top, usually 5 things that I want to prioritize and accomplish that day. And then I'll finish with a quote, that something that inspires me, or a quote that I read. Usually I read the greatday.com. It's an amazing resource. It's like a paragraph or two every single day, except for Sundays, they do the greatday.com, and you can get just some really powerful inspiration. I'll pull a sentence from that. And then I'll read my book. Right now I'm reading The Power, which is the secrets sequel per se. So I usually balance between a spiritual book and a business book. You know, like a business book is usually at night and the spiritual book in the morning, or I'll switch it up. Mm-hmm. So I'll read, journal, you know, I get my hyperhydrate, and then I try to get some form of movement, either, you know, deep stretching, push-ups, sit-ups, pull-ups, something to get my blood flowing. And yeah, that's usually, you know, covers the first 60 to 90 minutes. I have this rule with myself, and I've been doing it for, I can't even remember how long, but before every shower, I do naked push-ups or sit-ups to failure. So yes, my dong is like slapping the ground and whatnot, but I tell you what, it's a good reminder to just like get your shit done every single day in some way. Like you gotta do your naked push-ups. Carrie, what are you doing, man? You hop in the shower, you know what that means. It's a natural trigger for me before every shower to just get it in, and that keeps me right.
That's awesome. So how long have you been doing like some form of a, because for those of you who obviously you're listening to this, you can't see us on video, but Carrie's freaking ripped. Like, I don't, what are you like? Probably like 4% body fat or something, like super ripped. And so obviously what you're doing is working. So how long have you been doing like some form of a morning routine or a morning workout or like some variation of it?
I mean, I would say I've been doing a morning routine similar to this for maybe 10 years, you know, going on 10 years. Like, it isn't for me like finite. It's not cut and dry. I have to do every single thing. Yes, I do have a little magnetic whiteboard on my fridge that I list out all my activities that I need to accomplish for my morning routine, and I check them off. But if, you know, if I want to switch it up and do something different, I do. So, and same thing with like working out. I rarely go to the gym. I really don't. I just focus on eating right and staying active. You know, I play soccer, I do martial arts, I, you know, find myself doing yoga or whatever, like I want to do to just stay active. I think it's more important to just sweat every day than focus on some, you know, super serious routine. And then eating right, obviously, you know, you didn't ask about it, but I'm getting into it a little bit because it's like you asked about how, in some capacity, how to stay lean and mentally sharp. I think is really important. What you put in your body every single day, that's your medicine. That's your daily dose of, it could be plant-based, it could be carnivore. I don't care what you eat, but make sure it's super clean. The processed food's got to go. The fast food's got to go. If you want to maintain health and longevity in the future, you got to focus on what you're putting in your body and make sure it's good for you.
So, and that's something that, you know, is, it's almost like, everybody talks about diet, right? And it's funny too, because like I'll watch your stories on Instagram and stuff, and you talk about not doing like these crazy workouts, because it's funny. It's like, you'll have a sandbag and you're just like, you know, doing anything with it, right? Like just shoving above your head, doing a bunch of pull-ups and stuff. So, I mean, you definitely stay active, but I know the diet is such a huge thing. What from, because again, like with all your biohacking experience and working within Biohacking Secrets, and you know, obviously I know you've dedicated a ton of your time and your research and your knowledge into all these different things. I mean, not a lot of people probably listening to this podcast wake up and drink a bunch of water and take some Himalayan sea salt and like all this different stuff, right? I mean, I just know a lot of people don't. So what like led you down to the path of trying to figure out the best ways to feel great? Because I know a lot of people, they're always looking for that hack, right? And I know it's biohacking, but there's actually a lot of stuff that goes into it. So, you know, rather than like just going to the doctor and getting a cholesterol pill, like what led you down maybe this side? Was it something that happened to you personally? Like, was there a health scare or someone you saw, or is it just something you've always been interested in? Or,
well, I think I'd have to give credit to my mom. She was a biohacking OG. She really, you know, grew up, and I'm super holistic because of her. You know, she's a chiropractor by trade, but also functional medicine doctor. And I never grew up taking any antibiotics. I'm not vaccinated. I hope that doesn't, you know, freak the world out, but I've never taken vaccines. You know, I don't have any super crazy health scare. Yeah, I've had plenty of adversity. You know, I was dropped as a kid on my head and had a severe stutter, which probably explains a lot. but I, you know, I had like mental problems growing up, super bad anger issues and, you know, thoughts of pretty dark things, and had to work through all these with counseling and therapy and whatnot, and coming from a broken home and abuse and suicide and whatnot. There's plenty of stuff to dig into with adversity, but it wasn't like, oh, in my health journey that I had, you know, something that was massively impactful that shaped my journey. I think my mom really just set the tone. Instead of soda, you're having tea for dinner, you know, instead of having like potato chips, you're going to have, you know, some asparagus, right? So it's like, I'm super grateful for that. It is something now that I've just carried on with my own journey without, you know, her oversight. I still know that I feel better when I'm putting good things into my body.
Yeah. And I think the thing that, can be so challenging now is, you know, and we talked a little bit about it when you guys were out here and we were hanging out over this early fall, but just kind of knowing, because now it's almost like health stuff is in fashion, right? It's like everybody's got this magical diet and, you know, this magical, you know, shakes and all of these different things. Do you feel like it's actually gotten harder or easier to kind of eat clean at this point?
I think there's tons of misinformation out there, and there's a pop-up guru every ad, you know, yeah. and the next diet, and then one person will watch Game Changers, this new documentary on Netflix, and say, oh my God, I'm going plant-based. Then the next person will say, oh, look at this study of how the vegan athletes are hurt. And it's like, Everyone has an angle, you know. It's just about sifting through the misinformation and finding what works for you in your body. I think clients come to us, you know, Biohacking Secrets, for optimal health and performance, A, but B, to find the root cause of what's holding them back from living an optimal life. And I think with people out there listening, if you are struggling with your own health, you know, there is plenty of people out there who will sell you the magic bullet pill, right? Or, you know, the quick get slim quick diet. And you should be aware of those people. You know, the person who's going to say, hey, you got to commit. It's going to be a process, but we're going to help get you there. Okay, maybe I'll listen up and trust that person more so. Anything worth doing in life is going to take time. So same thing with your health. Don't get discouraged. You know, really focus on going back to what's important to you. You know, in terms of diet and exercise, I think are those the two most important factors to really look at. And then if you really wanted to go deep down the rabbit hole in terms of optimization, we'll look at DNA. We do functional genomic tests. We do all sorts of, you know, male elite and female panel tests. And then we look at all the data points and we put it together into an optimized protocol for you. And that's what clients come to us for, is essentially getting them that extra 2 hours of focused productivity. Sometimes it's, you know, losing 100 pounds of weight. Sometimes it's just sleeping better. It really depends. We meet them where they're at in terms of biohacking secrets and their clients. But yeah, I don't know if that answered your question. I kind of went on a ramble there.
That's awesome. So kind of to go back then, when you started all this and you had talked about some of the anger issues and stuff, was that because of the fall that happened, or was it just kind of part of growing up, or?
No, I can't blame it on the fall. Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it was just like a kid who was confused. You know, my dad was very aggressive, and I don't want to, you know, put all my dirty laundry out there, but we worked through some trauma there. And then my mom was, you know, very emotional, and you know, she unfortunately, like, just didn't want to be here. So she would put herself and us in very bad situations. So I think I was just kind of confused, angry, would fight a lot, would just, you know, plan out these elaborate crimes. It just got real dark, you know? And I really, it wasn't until the Peaceful Warrior, the book that I read by Dan Millman, got it tatted on my arms. It really meant that much to me. But that was a book that kind of shaped my journey and just realized that, okay, I can be a warrior, but I can also be peaceful.
How old were you?
I think it was about like 11 when I first picked up that book. Okay. Yeah, but up until then, I think I went through tons of anger management courses and breathing and tactics and therapy. You know, it was a journey.
Mm-hmm. So do you think it had anything as far as kind of coming out of that? Because, you know, maybe somebody listening to this is going through some of the same things. If you could maybe say like one or two things that really kind of helped pull you out of that, or at least put you in the right direction, whether it's something you learned in the book or something you learned after that, like what would you say to help people out with that?
Well, I'd say if someone's struggling with anger issues or even depression or anxiety, you know, I think it's really important to practice self-love in whatever capacity that means to you. You know, really focusing, going back to gratitude, finding what you do love about yourself, what you are grateful for about yourself. And, you know, there's tons of different resources out there. The book that resonated with me was The Peaceful Warrior by Dan Millman. And now I'm actually friends with Dan, and I've been able to express my gratitude in person to him multiple times. And I was actually looking to produce and direct and star in his next movie. So that's one of my goals, because I've been in the entertainment industry for about 15 years too. So acting and modeling. But anyway, that whole time in my life, I think you're not maybe where you want to be, you know, with anxiety or anger. Focus on really what you do love about yourself and your environment, and get back to, you know, love wins in any capacity. There's always, you know, the ripple effect, and you can show up in the world either with the negative energy or the positive energy. And I think I try now to just be the love and light in every situation.
So if someone is in a dark spot and they're like, yeah, it's really easy, because I've actually witnessed people talking like this, right? Where it's like, yeah, it's really easy for you to say, you know, just practice gratitude. It's like, you know, my wife just left me, and you know, I had a death and, you know, someone close to me, or I, you know, just literally lost everything through bankruptcy. There's nothing I can be grateful for. Like, what would you tell somebody like that?
I would challenge them to find gratitude for their breath, that very breath, right? It seems so simple, but you start small and then you can find gratitude for other things, blinking your eyes, moving your hands, you know, spend some time at a homeless shelter, which I try to volunteer as much as possible. You know, being around people who are less fortunate than you really has a way of humbling you. Yeah. Right? Making sure that you do realize how lucky we are just living in this country, you know, America, right? How fortunate are we being blessed with, you know, parents that hopefully care and love about us. Even, you know, if you lose someone, being grateful for their life, not their, you know, being sad about their death, but celebrate what they did live and that, you know, life. I know your dad passed recently. We talked extensively about that journey and, you know, mourning him, but also celebrating him and how many people came up to you, you know, in your town and, yeah. and just like celebrated your dad's life. Like, how beautiful is that to choose, you know, the reaction? You can't always choose the action that will come to you, right? Or the adversity or the energy that comes into your sphere, but you can always choose your reaction.
Absolutely. No, I totally agree. Totally agree. So then kind of moving forward, because I did want to talk a little bit about, you had brought up the modeling and everything else. So would you mind sharing the story as to how you got into that whole thing? Because for the people out there, again, like if you don't know Kerry, he's a good looking dude. And so, you know, maybe one of these days, you know, I'm a good looking dude too. I'm going to get in the modeling world. Like, how does somebody even do that? You know, especially when you talk about like living in Montana and, you know, I know you're living in Florida as well, but like, how do you even go into getting into that business?
Oh man. Well, yeah. Let me know if you need an agent. I'll hook you up. We'll get you a contract.
You don't have to have pretty hair, right? Because
no, you don't, man. There's a market for everyone. That's what I tell people. I'm like, literally, there is a market for everyone. If you are interested in being an actor or a model, you can do it. There is a market for everyone. And I actually have an online course that teaches people how to gain professional representation. Not a plug, just a truth. And yeah. It really does, you know, make it so you could get an agent and get booked for jobs. It's a fun industry to be a part of, man. It really is. You know, every day is different. You're doing random shoots on beautiful yachts with amazing people to like getting paid to just shoot on my ranch in Montana, riding my horse or fly fishing. Like, you know, it's fun to just get paid to do something that you love to do. I got into it when I was like maybe 15. With a scam agency. You know, there's a lot of scammers out there in every industry, but in the modeling game especially. And basically, they wanted me to, I don't know, become this next top model, but they didn't market me. So they just took my money to then get a comp card and whatnot. After that, I realized it was a scam. My first real job, I booked off of Craigslist, which is always, you know, super reliable. Not sketchy whatsoever. And I actually was playing college soccer at the time in Chicago. So they were looking for, I remember the title of the Craigslist post said, looking for strong legs. And I was like, oh, I got this, you know, I was playing soccer. So I took a picture outside my English literature class of my calf, sent it in, ended up booking this job. Turns out it was for Crocs, you know, those hot plastic mandals that are on the market. And next thing I know, I'm like doing this Croc shoot, you know, smiling, flexing the calves, etc. Super stoked to get the you know, the magazine after it came out. And I get the magazine and it's neck down. I'm not even in it. It's just my damn body and legs. So I was, you know, a little bit bummed that I didn't get any FaceTime in this Crocs catalog, but it was funny anyway. You know, now I'm fortunate enough to be represented by some of the top agencies in the world, from Wilhelmina to Next. I've modeled in Barcelona to Bangkok to Brazil. And, you know, it's been a journey, learned a lot along the way. The thing about modeling that people don't get is that you are in the business of rejection. literally at any given moment, I think it's got like a 94% unemployment rate, meaning only 6% of models are working that day, which is crazy. Wow. You go on castings every single day. I literally have job auditions every single day. I'm in the lobby with all the competition. So it's just a very interesting dynamic. You know, I have a casting tomorrow for this like Marriott commercial. And you know, it's a couple G's. I book it. It's a couple G's a day. And then great. You see yourself, you know, 3 months later on the Marriott commercial. That's but awesome. It's fun. Yeah. Dude, so, my girlfriend's involved too. So, you know.
I've got a question for you. Did you ever end up in something you didn't think you were going to end up in?
Yeah, that's a leading question, huh? Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, I booked this job in Barcelona when I was living over there playing soccer and studying abroad. And I, you know, basically thought, okay, this is at the penthouse of the W Barcelona Hotel. It was the most beautiful location, the nicest clothes that I've still ever caressed this body I wore that day. And we're talking like 400 euro bow ties. I did this whole shoot with this another top male European model. I thought I was just going to be pouring him coffee all day, like holding his door. Turns out he was holding my door, you know, and I was like, I had a mustache, a rat tail, red, dyed red, and big mutton chop sideburns at the time, looking real edgy. And yeah, these photos from this like photo shoot ended up getting sold to a couple different publications. So I didn't really know much about the business at this time in my career. I was walking down the street maybe a month, two later, and I looked on the magazine stacked like we're just off the side of the road, and here's my photo on the cover with my little mustache, and on top of the magazine says Shen Gay, and it was this gay mag in Europe. Here I am with a full spread.
Carries on the gay mag, you know.
So yeah, that happened.
That's so good. Perfect. So you've done all the modeling. You've done some of the acting, doing the biohacking. What do you see yourself doing over the next, I don't know, 5 to 10 years? Because you've already done a lot of things. I know your birthday's coming up. You're still a really young guy. Like what do you see kind of the vision moving forward? Or is it moving more to like the sustainable breakthroughs and kind of running that company? Is it, you know, like what do you kind of see the next steps being?
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, definitely transitioning into co-founder and VP of Sustainable Breakthroughs as a more full-time role. Sustainable Breakthroughs is a company that's fighting the plastic pollution epidemic and climate change. And it's just a very pressing time for our environment. And I grew up, you know, outdoorsman, and really have been a passionate environmentalist since an early age. So my brother and myself started this company. I feel very passionate about, you know, helping Mother Earth and getting over this climate hump, whether you believe it or not. You know, we need help. There's change needs to happen. So I plan on social impact investing into other like-minded companies through Sustainable Breakthroughs. And we also have a consulting arm where we positively, you know, change the supply chain of these different Fortune 500 companies to use eco alternatives. And we also help brand them as the eco leader in their industry. And we also created a machine called the Alchemy Appliance that upcycles plastic waste. So if you picture like a vending machine, you know, you shred plastic bottles at the top, then it goes, you know, melts it, then extrudes it into 3D printer filament. And at the bottom of the machine is an actual, you know, 3D printer that can print anything from this recycled plastic waste. So out comes an item of utility, maybe a spork, maybe a bowl, maybe a fishing reel. With 3D printing technology, anything's possible. So we see getting our machines out there in different schools, different companies, stadiums, to really, you know, bring the power of upcycling to the masses. That's one of the ventures that I'm really passionate about. And then with the Happy Hustle, you know, my book, my podcast, I'd love to continue growing that message to really find happiness within the hustle. You know, there's a lot of people out there, you know, who resonate with Gary V and this message of grind, grind, grind. Then there's a lot of people like you in your audience who probably resonate with, you know, leaving a legacy, being liberated, but also having the lifestyle, right, that yeah. you really are focused on, that you are happy with. And that's, you know, more so my message. So growing that business, Happy Hustle, Sustainable Breakthroughs, and then equally spreading the light with Biohacking Secrets and really empowering others with their health and their knowledge of, you know, how you can identify the root cause to many of your ailments, your diseases. We're really focused on putting together this this technology that allows you to self-quantify what's going on a cellular level and bring that to the masses. I know that's a lot, but yeah, there we go.
No, it's awesome because they're all really, really good. I mean, whether it's a good cause or a good, so when it comes to, I know, like you had talked about whether or not you believe in climate change and everything else, it's kind of funny. And obviously, like, I don't like to talk politics or anything like that, but does it ever surprise you that there's not more people on board with, again, like, take even the climate change issue out of it. But to me, it's like, we should want to do as good as we can, whether or not, again, like, if you believe climate change is a hoax, like, whatever, like, throw all that out the window. But it's like, for me, being outdoors as much as I am, for you being outdoors as much as you are, like, I hate seeing garbage and plastic and stuff like that out there. I mean, you would think that this would be something that kind of everybody could get through, right? Like could get on board with to try to just have cleaner air, cleaner water, right? Like, I don't see how that's a political issue, right? I mean, am I crazy on that or?
No, you're not at all. You're preaching to the choir. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it should be a bipartisan issue where we all are on board, where everyone can see the damaging effects, you know, to our environments, to the animals, to its inhabitants, to our ecosystems. You know, when you're going to the beach and you see microplastic, you know, in a turtle's mouth or seeing a porpoise with net around its fin, or even out in the wilderness and you see, you know, deer or bear scavenging from the garbage cans, like, we all, it's our responsibility to take care of our planet. This is our home. You know, single-handedly, humans are fucking it up. And it's this damn shame, you know? It's like, wake up, world. What are we doing with our environment, with our trash, with our fossil fuels? I mean, you know, obviously, it's important to realize that, you know, there's old school ways of life that, you know, some people won't ever change. You know, that's just like, it's they're hard, fast, you know, routines, and that's what it is. But the majority of the people out there can really take climate change and take their eco impact to another level and be conscious consumers. Look what you're buying in the grocery store. Start there. You know, if you have the opportunity to get, you know, avocados in a plastic, like, net bag, or just, you know, on the bunch without the net bag, get the ones without the net bag, you know, get the apples without the plastic bags, you know, demand eco alternatives from your favorite restaurants, you know, don't use plastic straws. Little changes, if we all make them, can make a huge difference.
Yeah. Do you think that there'll come a point where, like, plastics are banned, stuff like that? I mean, I know they banned straws and stuff like that, but do you think, because here's where, like, I guess I kind of see some of this stuff is, it's like, there's got to be an alternative to all of these things, or else we won't stop using straws. We won't stop using plastic bottles. We won't stop using, because it's, I mean, that's, we're capitalists, right? And I keep thinking, like, as capitalists, why can't somebody figure out how to replace a plastic bottle with something that works better, that could be just as cost effective? Cause that person's going to be a freaking billionaire. You know what I mean? It's almost like, rather than, like, I don't know how you do it. Maybe there's a government incentive or something like that, but I keep thinking banning stuff is never probably going to work. It doesn't seem like, cause there's just too much money in it. So it's like, how do we incentivize people to be like, okay, don't use the plastic because this is actually good, but it's also as cheap or cheaper. Do you see any of that happening? What do you think? Do you think it'll end up having to just outright ban stuff in order for, like, plastics to go away? Or, like, again, kind of what I think is, it's like, create competition in that market. Make somebody a billionaire to figure out a way to get rid of plastic. That seems to be the best way to do it, right?
For sure. I mean, within any true change and in an industry, there has to be an economic advantage.
Yep.
And within banning plastics, there has to be an alternative, right? Yeah. There are alternatives popping up, which if you do the research and you see, you know, people are making things out of sugarcane, they're making things out of bamboo, they're making these alternatives out of, you know, different paper products that are compostable, that do, you know, disintegrate within like 60 days. Not, you know, the thing that people don't understand is plastic is going to outlive us all like six times over. It has a 600 year lifespan. You know, wow. Most plastics, only 4% of plastics actually get upcycled, which means they actually get turned into something of equal or greater value. So it's like, people don't understand that, you know, it has a cost. It's going to happen. It's going to have a cost on either our children or our children's children, but someone's got to pay for this, you know, this plastic price. And, you know, with Sustainable Breakthroughs, one of the things that we did as just low hanging fruit, but we created these eco alternatives for plastic cutlery and plastic straws. And if you guys want, for your listeners, we set up a coupon code. If you just type in Primal, you'll save, I think it's 15% off these eco packs. And you know, it's got a stainless steel spork and a stainless steel straw.
My kids take it to school.
Straw cleaner. Yeah,
literally,
there you go.
Like my kids have been using them at school.
Oh, we got to get you some more. Yeah, but they're great. They're stainless steel. They last. They're dishwasher safe. And you know, you buy one for like, what, $15 or something, and it lasts you your dang whole life. And yeah. How many plastic, I mean, I think it's like 2,700 different plastic silverware and straws you'll use just this year alone, 2,700. You know, if you think about it, like you could save all of that plastic with just one purchase. So that's a shameless plug, but it's for the environment, you know?
So where can, if somebody does want something like that, where can they find it at?
Oh, they go to sustainablebreakthroughs.shop. And you'll see the different, we got one that says on it, be the change you wish to see in the world. And the other one says, fuck plastic. Depends if you want to be like a, you know, a rebel in your lunchroom or at your work parties. But, you know, it is it's always a conversation item. You know, it's a way to at least make a small impact. And, you know, we definitely wanted to take care of your audience. So if you type in the code Primal, you'll get 15% off. So
sweet.
Appreciate you guys, you know, and I know the environment appreciates it.
Awesome. Awesome. So as we kind of get toward the end here, kind of start wrapping it up, just kind of a couple more questions. So as you do kind of get into, as we talked about, you know, getting ready to be into the 30s and everything else, like what, maybe kind of going back to your 20s and what you know now, what you've experienced, what you've been able to kind of learn from people around you and everything else. If you had one thing that you could master over the course of the next couple of years, let's say the next 2 years, what would you say you would want that to be at this point in your life?
One thing that I could master,
yep,
in my next evolution.
Yep.
Oh, that's a good one, man. I mean, I think in my 20s, you know, just looking back, I definitely was a savage in many areas of my life. You know, I used to just do it all for the wrong reasons, probably. And now I think I realize that it's all okay. And that right now, where you are in your life, you're where you're supposed to be. And it's just being content in that journey and realizing that you have an opportunity today and tomorrow and the next day to change, you know, the course of your life and to manifest your reality. So I guess looking forward in my journey to really focus on one thing that I want to master, I'd love to master empathy on the most elaborate degree and being able to really empathize wholeheartedly with kindness, caring and compassion when I meet you, and just be able to fully immerse myself in your world, listen, be present. I think that's something that we all could probably, you know, learn to master or do better. But it is something for me, you know, discipline and focus. I want discipline and focus. You know, as an entrepreneur type A, I'm always go, go, go. But truthfully, what I really need to master is like presence, empathy, and just being the love and light in every situation. So
now, one of the things that we had talked about before, and I think it does kind of come down to like the presence and everything else, and being out in nature is you do a covered wagon trip, right? What's that all about again? So everybody knows, I am going somewhere with this because it's one of the funniest stories I think I've ever actually heard. Part of what I always want to do in the podcast is obviously hopefully bring value, but hopefully maybe make you laugh. And this is a story that had me literally like almost rolling on the ground laughing. And so it kind of starts around a covered wagon trip, right?
Yeah. So every year in Montana, we do a covered wagon, like basically recreating the Oregon Trail. Bunch of cowboys, cowgirls ride usually about 50 or so miles over the course of 5 days, and we camp out around the chuck wagons, and it's, you know, a hoot of a time, but it is definitely, you get to see some things, you know, we're talking like the real deal of cowboys and cowgirls. So this year on Labor Day, we joined our wagon train with a larger wagon train for the 50th annual Milk River wagon train up in, Northern Montana.
This is a big deal.
A big deal in the wagon world. All right. So people are, you know, trailering from Canada to California, all over to get to this wagon train, you know, and, we just hope that grandma doesn't get dysentery and that nobody gets bit by a rattlesnake, because my horse stepped on multiple. They're out there, and you know, there's bear and there's coyotes and there's tons of, you're not the top of the food chain in Montana. No, so we're out there. Okay. And, you know, there's probably, I think there was about almost 40, they wanted to get 50 wagons. I think they got close, 40 something covered wagons, and about 200 outriders, like basically people on horseback. And, you know, they're just covered the hillside, up and down the ravines, crossing rivers. Like I got on my Instagram some pictures if you look at it. Or I can send it, you know, for the show notes, whatever. But this is a good time. So this particular wagon train, it basically had, some people who were had a little more gusto than others. And one group of cowboys, you know, on the second night, I heard on the first night some commotion, you know, and apparently some, like, you know, cousin and brother fought the dad and the uncle, and it got into like this big cowboy scuffle, you know. And the next night I heard even a bigger scuffle going down, and I'm like, oh man. And I'm in my tent at this point. I'm just, you know, calling it quits for the night, but there's a big bonfire and everyone's partying. And the next morning, crack of dawn, we're all up, you know, you have an early wagon lead time. So 6 a.m., here comes this cowboy riding up with his lasso swinging. He's on horseback. You know, he's got the big mustache. He's got the beard. He's got the cowboy hat, the chaps, and he's swinging this lasso. And he comes up, and his whole right side of his face is legit bloody and swollen out to damn. Like, this guy can't even see out of his right eye. It is so bloody and swollen. And I'm like, oh shit, what happened to you, man? And he's like, Zeb got me. I'm looking for Zeb. You seen Zeb? And I'm like, who the hell is Zeb? And you need to go get some medical attention on that eye there, partner. And he's still swinging his lasso. And everyone in our group, you know, 20 or something, other cowboys and cowgirls, like, no one here is named Zeb. And he's like, okay. So he goes on to the next people, you know, and there's like a huge group of 200 people in a big circle. So you see this cowboy riding from group to group looking for Zeb, who got him good last night. So we're like, oh shit, now there's going to be a Cowboys fight. I can't wait to watch this shit go down, you know? So we're watching this guy go from group to group. You seen Zeb? Where's Zeb? You seen Zeb? No Zeb. You know, and he's looking high and low. Well, I'm sure Zeb was passed out because he was, you know, partying all night. He wasn't hiding, that's for sure, because come to find out, this guy found Zeb, and Zeb was about 350 pounds, looked like a damn refrigerator. Guy was a monster, huge cowboy. I mean, he waddles out his tent. I'm Zeb. And this guy's still swinging his lasso, ready to rope him. He's like, I'm going to rope you and drag you across the middle before the law gets you. And I'm like, oh my God, what does that even mean? I don't even know at this point, you know, it's a, what is a, like, he's got to legit try to drag this cowboy across the center by his heels with his lasso. And I'm like, first of all, I don't know if his horse is pulling this big boy because this guy's a fridge, you know. Anyway, they square up, he's swinging his lasso, Zebzo. And then here comes screaming in between the wagon boss, you know, the one wagon boss. There's a wagon boss for every wagon train. And he comes, whoa, whoa, whoa now, partners. Hey, simmer down. What happened? Well, Zeb socked me in my eye last night. Well, Zeb, why'd you do that? Well, because he was getting lippy. Oh, okay. Well, apologize, gentlemen. He's like, well, I'm sorry, Zeb, for getting lippy. Well, I'm sorry for socking you in your eye. And that was it. That was it. That was literally how this cowboy squashed it. And he rode the whole rest of the day with this freaking swollen face, bloody eye, couldn't open it. Zeb rode in the back of a wagon, chugging beers like he does. And that was it, man. The wagon brawl that never happened. But it was
hilarious. That is such an awesome story. Man, yeah. We talked about that. Me and my brother talked about that for like weeks after you guys were, where's him?
Oh, man, it's hilarious.
Yeah. That's so awesome. Well, hopefully everybody enjoyed that story. So just to wrap it up here, and again, Kerry, like, I seriously appreciate you being on here.
Thank you for having me, man. I appreciate you for doing this.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, we talk a lot about liberation. We talk about lifestyle. We talk a lot about legacy. So just to kind of wrap everything up here, you know, if you were to look way down the road and you were to kind of envision what type of legacy that you would leave behind, whether that be, you know, your future kids or the people around you, the people you've met through all of these different businesses, the people you've impacted, what would you want whenever that time does come around? Like, what do you want your legacy to be?
Well, I mean, for me, I think I'd like to have people really just say at his core, he cared, you know, about more than just himself. And it's difficult to really forecast the legacy that I want because it's so grand. I really have big plans for myself. You know, I really do want to be on the world stage. I see the vision of myself speaking to the masses and having this global impact. To what capacity and to what specificity, you know, I'm open and surrendering to the process. I think it is very important to keep a level of surrender throughout your journey out there. You know, all you primal kings and queens, it's really important to surrender, you know, as well as push, because you never know the opportunities that may come. And so I'm leaving room in my legacy for those opportunities. I know I'd like to have, you know, a global company that really does good, a B corporation at that, that's super transparent, that does what it says it does. You know, there's a lot of greenwashers out there. There's a lot of people, you know, starting businesses or taking pictures in front of rented Lambos. And I don't want to be any of that shit. I want to be the real deal. I want to keep it 100. I want to put out good content and, you know, through my book, my speaking career, my podcast. I want to continue to help people with their health and their wellness. And I think with my eco business, those three components, as well as I definitely plan to write, direct, and star in my own feature film in the very near future. So you'll be seeing me on the big screen soon enough.
All right. If you need any extras, man, let me know.
You're booked.
I might be cut out for this acting stuff. I'm not sure. I might be.
I think so, man. I think so. I'm telling you, we got to get you an agent. We get the twins for sure. We got to
get the twins. They'll be stars for sure. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. I mean, well, going to go ahead and wrap it up. I guess awesome. where can people find you if they want to learn more about sustainable breakthroughs or about, you know, biohacking secrets or just you personally? Where's the best social media outlets for you? Where can they find you?
Okay, cool, man. Yeah. So I have a website, kerryjack.com. It's pretty much all there. You could find all the different links off of kerryjack.com, CaryJack.com, or kerry__jack on Instagram or Facebook. if you wanted to go specifically, let's say something with the health and wellness aspect resonated with you and you wanted to see if it was a potential fit and we work together and you go through our process, you could go to biohackingsecrets.com/coaching. If you wanted to, you know, check us out on Sustainable Breakthroughs, or maybe you have a company that, you know, potentially could benefit from some eco consulting, you could check us out at sustainablebreakthroughs.com. And, you know, the Happy Hustle podcast, I would love you guys to subscribe and listen to that show. We're going to have Derek on and do some awesome collabs in the near future. Just had on John Lee Dumas of the Entrepreneur on Fire. He's got some really awesome guests coming in. So yeah, those are some of the plugs.
Awesome. Awesome. So yeah, make sure if you guys aren't following at least Carrie on Instagram, seeing the stories, it's always awesome stuff. Like I said, he's always like lifting stuff and doing these crazy pull-ups and doing stuff that will motivate you, inspire you, and some beautiful views when he's in Montana. He's on the beach in Florida. It's kind of like, where's Waldo, man? You're all over the place, right?
Well, I'm going to Columbia on Friday. So
nice, Columbia on Friday. Sweet. So, and then yes, by the time that this podcast episode airs, you'll have just had your podcast be launched again. Make sure you guys check it out. It's called the Happy Hustle Podcast. It's going to be awesome stuff. Can't wait for it. And again, appreciate you, brother.
Thank you so much for having me, man. Much love. And thank you guys for listening.
Awesome. Awesome. All right, guys. Well, again, I appreciate you all listening. Hopefully you got a ton of value from Carrie. Hopefully you laughed as much as I did on the wagon train story, because that is just, at least to me, hilarious. Hopefully you guys found it funny. And I appreciate you all listening. We'll talk to you all soon. Have an awesome day. Thank you, everybody, for listening to another episode of the Primal King Podcast. There is one thing that I will ask you to do. Please make sure that you are subscribed to the show so you get all of the new episodes coming out. Also, please make sure that you rate and review the show so that way other people can have access to this podcast, to this content, and this community. Again, thank you everyone for listening, and we'll see you next time.